Thankful that God gives us living examples of what it is to trust and rely upon Him. Jeremiah was given an opportunity in his life. He was to speak into the lives of God's people when they weren't always acting like God's people. And in the midst of a stubborn and stiff-necked people, and in the midst of those that had found themselves far from where God had intended. So today we're going to look at this new agreement. It's called a new covenant. Jeremiah mentions it, and then Hebrews echoes Jeremiah's words, even over in our New Testament as well, and gives us another picture of what this means. To have an agreement with God that not only lasts for a little bit, but lasts for eternity. So, what did the previous covenant look like? Jeremiah gives a few parts of that agreement, the previous covenant. He spoke of a particular location, of a particular circumstance, and a particular result. He was reminding God's people of the journey that happened in the land of Egypt. When God's people disobeyed, when they had an opportunity to not follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they took a vacation that was far more than a three-hour trip like on Gilligan's Island. It became a 40-year for many year experience where they found themselves enslaved. And not just 40 years, generations went by where they found themselves in bondage. And there was a circumstance that they found themselves in. They found themselves in a place of slavery. No longer could they worship the way that they were used to worship. No longer could they live where they used to live. And the result was, in fact, a time of disobedience. God gave Abraham a great word all the way back in Genesis, and he says, I want you to be the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others, so that you will be the light for the nations. And somewhere along the way, that light had faded. And God was speaking into the life of this prophet, and he was saying, my original agreement with you, this covenant that I made, God is still trying to hold up his end of the deal, but an agreement has to have two sides. And he says, I now understand that a new covenant needs to be formed. It's going to come to us in a different way this time. There's going to be reminders of the old covenant. You finally got out of Israel. In fact, there's a new movie coming up in the theaters. Anybody see the trailer of the new ones? It's called Of God and Kings. Does that sound right? Anybody see this? God and Kings, I think. They're redoing Moses. Now, I don't know how they can do Moses without Charlton Heston, but I guess they're going to give it a try, right? But they're going to show this epic journey and to connect the dots between the one that Moses grew up with in Pharaoh's court. In fact, ends up being the one later on that he faces as the god of this known world, as in the eyes of the Egyptian people. It was an epic story that culminated in the idea of the Passover, that God would come and then he would protect his people. If you had the sacrificial lamb and the blood was put on the doorpost so that when the death angel would come, he would pass over those that were in the house of Israel. And ultimately, it was what broke Pharaoh's will and allowed the people to go. But then, of course, he even had second thoughts from there. So this original covenant has a lot of history with it. And God is speaking into Jeremiah's life, and he's saying, I'm going to build on that, though. This now is going to be a different relationship. You're going to know God in a different way. In fact, we will know God. It's not about having to wait on someone else to tell us, but we can experience Him for ourselves. And ultimately, it is about forgiving our sins. This is not about forgiving the Pharaoh's sins or those that felt they were in control over God's people. It was about everything to be switched around and understand our need for forgiveness. And ultimately, to remember our sins no more. That was the ultimate promise that Jeremiah gave as a word from the Lord. Throughout the Bible, you will see example after example of people who don't get it right. God seems to use those folks in spite of their weaknesses. And it is a great encouragement for us to know that God is in the forgiving business. I love how the psalmist puts it. He says, He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now on a globe, I guess that eventually somehow circulates around and connects. But if you think of it in terms of a compass point, the east and the west never meet. God extends His love and His mercy to us so that it goes beyond what we can see or imagine. And this week it has been a real opportunity for me to see and to experience, even as Brother Everett was walking through his last days, to see this lived out, that he was able to just rest in the arms of the Lord. There was one night when he was really, really agitated. It was near the end, and his body was fighting for all it was made to do to still continue. And then there was a peace that was able to come over him. It was helped on by morphine as well, so that our body would not have to fight so hard. God made us to fight for every single breath that we take. But to see Everett there and to know that Jody was there by his side, that all of his kids were there, surrounded by their love, it was a beautiful reminder for me of this new covenant, this new promise that God is going to be with us no matter what. As we shared at the service yesterday, Jeannie came to me with the NIV study Bible that Jeannie's one of Everett's daughters, that Jeannie gave him several years ago when Everett was in the Tie That Binds Sunday school class. There's a lot of good footnotes at the bottom that give you some extra words on what it is to look into God's Scripture. And his bookmark was at a particular place, and at Psalm 15, and especially in the message, it is a wonderful reminder of this new covenant that we now have, this relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father, that it's not about the black dots that we are so good at putting on other people when we see them not measuring up. Or after a while, it doesn't even have to be if they measure up. It's just because they're them and they're not me. And we can fill them with our own condemnation. Or we can just rely on our own stars. We can rely on our own praises to build and prop somebody else up. But the issue is, it's not what other people think. It's about what God has promised and how important you are to Him and to His purpose. So, out of the message, Psalm 15. doesn't quite read this way in the NIV or the ESV or the King James Version, but I appreciate Eugene Peterson's short little statements that remind us of what this new covenant looks like. It's not just about what God is doing, but then what we do in response to His invitation. God continues to invite, but then how are we to respond? And then I think the psalmist sort of wrapped it up in this way. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? How do we get on your guest list? Walk straight. Act right. Tell the truth. Don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. Despise the despicable. Keep your word even if it costs you. Make an honest living. Never take a bribe. And then the psalmist finishes with this. You'll never get blacklisted if you live like this. The black dots will not stick if we live like this. If we have the opportunity to live in the new agreement that God has in store for His people. So that's our privilege today, to know that God still speaks into our lives. It is not because we've got it all together, but because He provides a way so that none of what the world offers us has to stick. We rely upon Him, not only for our worth and our value, but to see our purpose, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God does not make accidents. He doesn't just orchestrate things and leave them to their own devices. He is intimately involved in our lives and in our well-being. Out of James, he gives us a great word today. I believe it's in chapter 5. I'll make sure I get it right. I want to say verse 16. Let's see if that's anywhere close. Yeah. James 5:16 gives us these words. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. A few verses before that, in verse, I think that number, Judd, you know, I have that same issue you do in choir practice. What's that about? I think it was about, yeah, and I think my glasses need cleaned. Yeah, that's what. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Jeremiah told his early audience thousands of years ago, he says, I know what looks like now is nothing but utter darkness, but let me tell you, God is coming with a new agreement, but you have to accept it individually. This is not about a country. This is not about a nation. This is not about one group over another. This is about every person having the understanding to come to the Lord for him or herself. So that's our altar call today. It is that opportunity in which you can come and understand and receive for maybe the first time or yet again God's new covenant, that He wants to heal body, mind, and soul. And we offer that even this morning as we gather. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. What a great promise you have given us from your word. And it is the opportunity for us to come and to recognize that we do not have it all together, but we recognize the one who does. And may this be an opportunity for us to establish our part of the agreement, this new covenant that God freely extends to all, so that we may experience healing and wholeness that goes beyond what circumstances have placed us in, that goes beyond what people have said or done, that goes beyond what we have said or done, and allows us to enter into God's presence. We thank you, Father, for providing a way so that we could have life. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.